Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. You're listening. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am, of course, Angela Butler. Today's guest is with the A&R of Island Guest Jam Group, Michael Golden. I hope I pronounced that name right. He also is the owner and manager of BM Artist Management and co-owner of Hall of Fame Recording Studio. Michael, as you read from my blog talk, has been in the industry 31 years and was his guest jam from the start. He also is well known as also a veteran in the music industry. Michael was with Rick Rubin and Mr. Russell Simmons when they started Def Jam Recordings. But Michael Groove is still going strong within the industry, so tune in to be educated and enlightened. Hi, everyone. So wait a few minutes, play some clips of some old shows until we call in.
Right now is the one moment that matters. Right now is the time to act on what's next. Don't just think about your future. Own it right now. You know you have a dream. Now you have to make it a reality. Move forward with a degree that can help you achieve your next success, however you may define it. At Strayer University, we can help you get the degree you need, master's or bachelor's, online and on campus. Students have trusted us for career-focused higher education for over 120 years. Own your future by owning this moment. The time is now. The time is yours. Get started today at strayer.edu. Strayer University is certified to operate by Chef.
Strayer University has a campus right here in Birmingham to help you own your future. Make your dream a reality and learn how to get the degree you need, master's or bachelor's, on campus and online at strayer.edu.
You were listening to a commercial from what was the Innocent Project on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Didn't get to this interview part, but like I was saying earlier, the guest interview today is with Michael Golden, and I know he will correct me if I pronounce his name wrong. Michael Golden grew up. I pronounce your name right?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you, but you're breaking up some.
It's Griot, but you can just say Mike G, Michael Goldie, whatever you want to call me. Most people call me Goldie Max or Mike G.
Okay. Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, let me finish introducing you. Okay, everybody's in for a great interview. He's been with A&R Island Def Jam Group for 31 years, but it doesn't end there with Michael Golden. No, it does not. He also is the owner and manager of GM Artist Management and co-owner of Hall of Fame Recording Studio. Michael has been in the industry 31 years. I was with Def Jam from the start. Yes, he's Def Jam from the start. He's also well known as a veteran in the music industry. Mr. Rick Rubin and Mr. Russell Simmons started Def Jam Recordings with Michael Goldie. Is still going strong within the industry, so tune in to be educated and enlightened. So how are you? How are you, Michael?
I'm okay. I'm doing fine. Right now, I'm in a room, just getting ready to get out and go into the house because my day is done. And I'm hi to all the listeners out there. I know you got a wide following of listeners. And, you know, whatever they want, if they want to ask something, I don't know if they can ask me questions, but if they want to ask me questions, want to find out how to get into the industry or whatever, I'm here to answer any questions. You know, I'm not one of them people where I keep my head up in the air and just forget about the little people. I still hang out in the hood. I give back to the community. I donate to our children's charities, especially childhood cancer, because I had a cousin, she died at 10 years old from childhood cancer, from leukemia, actually. So I do a lot of work with that. Set up basketball leagues for the kids so that they can have people doing games and stuff like that. And I do my thing, you know. I have my own entertainment management firm, GMAMNYC, and then I have a recording studio, which actually used to be Jam Master Jay's recording studio, where he was shot and killed at. We bought it from his wife, and we made it into a very famous New York City studio, and ever since then, I mean, everybody's recorded there, you name it. Whitney Houston, Alicia Keys, Sade is recorded there. You name it, they recorded there. Almost every rapper in the industry is recorded there. So we're doing that thing. I love my job. And they say when you love your job, it's not a job. You know what I'm saying? So y'all want to ask me.
Okay, so what you love to do.
So that's y'all
want to
say something because I keep talking. But, if y'all want to say something, because I talk your ears off. You know how I am, Angela. I talk your ears off.
You talk your ears off. Okay. All right. Okay. So I gave you that introduction because it was all true. Great person. Great person. Don't hear anything bad about you from anyone. They said you're one of the best. Especially, not just with Def Jam, but with your own company, with management.
Sometime in the winter, I'm retiring from Def Jam because I could have retired 10 years ago, but I love what I do. I'm retiring from them, and I'm starting my own label. Plus, I have a deal going on with Walmart where they're going to distribute 3 CDs a month for me, 1 rock and roll, 1 hip hop, and 1 pop and R&B. And that's going to be, I'm going to have all unsigned artists that labels overlook those type of artists, and I'm going to put them artists on the map. I'm going to have major artists hosting the album. Say if it's a hip hop CD, I'm going to have somebody like Nas host that album for that month. Next month, it'll be somebody else. If it's a rock and roll album, I'll have somebody in the rock industry who's famous host that album so that people will be like, oh, well, Nas is hosting this album. I got to buy this. And they'll hear the unsigned artist, and, these artists are going to make that money. You know what I'm saying? So I like to give back. I like to help people because, one, labels, I don't know if I can curse, but labels ain't shit. Labels is pimps and the artist is whores. Artists can make, for a label, $13 million. And out of that $13 million, that artist, depending on what they get, because most artists get anywhere, I don't care who they are, they get 45 to 95 cents per album that they sell. So let's just say an album goes platinum, and that's that's a million albums. Let's say the album costs $13. That's $13 million. Let's say the artist is getting for instance, Alicia Keys gets 95 cents per album. Say she gets a million albums and $13 million, she's going to get $950,000 in her pocket. But she's got to pay her income tax. She's got to pay her management. She's got to pay producing, just that. And all the hairstylist, she might walk away from that $950,000 with about $525,000. Basically, for her, that's a weekend in Vegas for her and her husband and her kids. The way an artist like that makes their money is when she does her concerts, where basically she's so well-known, she can go into Styx's in Zimbabwe right now and do a concert and sell out the whole concert. But let's just say she does a show in Madison Square Gardens tomorrow night. 80% of that money goes to her. The label doesn't get none of that. 10% goes to Madison Square Gardens. The other 10% goes to the promoter of the event. She might walk out of that show that night with about $1.5 million in her pocket. Now, you see these artists where they'll work 7 nights a week, 7 days a week. They might do 2 shows a night. They'll be exhausted at the end of the week. But at the end of the week, she'll say, I made $24 million. That's where an artist gets their records. Unsigned artists are under the misconception where you sign a record deal, it's going to make you a millionaire. The record deal does not actually make you a millionaire. It's what you do on your own after that. Concerts, TV, whatever. The label just makes you famous. Like I said, they're pimps and you're whores. On the street, everybody knows the street. Out there on the streets, the pimps get all the, the girl goes out there, she makes all the money, and the pimp takes it all. He might, if she makes $1,000 for the night, she's lucky if he gives her $50 to put in her pocket. They like to keep them broke and looking good, you know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing with a record label. Another misconception is that artists think, like, if they sign a record deal and a label gives them an advance of $300,000, they think that's free money. It's not free money. It's just like if you work a regular job and on Friday you get paid, but on Wednesday you broke, so you go to the boss and say, hey, boss, I need to get an advance of $50 until Friday. When Friday comes, when your check comes, that $50 has already been taken out. So, you know, and if anything happens right now, I'm getting ready to get in the elevator right now in my building. I live in the penthouse, and if sometimes I don't get good reception in the elevator, so if it cuts off, I'll call back. But anyway,
okay.
Anybody have any questions?
Nobody's calling in. I don't know if you remember, but that's interesting. I'll let you know that I'll be pre-recorded. So, could you name some of the artists that you yourself have managed, and just tell me a little bit about A&R Island Def Jam Group.
Okay.
31 years of gotta have some stories.
I heard you say what them artists have I managed. Okay. Bringing into the game, like, okay, A&R, okay, I've been in the business 30 years, so that'll tell you. I didn't start at 1 year old, so I got to name for you. Anyway, I want people into the business like CMC, Slick Rick, Lawless, you name it, from back in the days, I brought them into the business. I've gotten artists gold records, platinum albums, diamond. Diamond is 2 million albums. I got Grammy awards. This, that, and the other. Right now, I manage the firm. I'm over 18 artists. I manage 18 artists. Some are major artists. Some are unsigned artists. Major artists I married. Mims, Shine, Redman, and Meth Man. But only Red and Meth when they perform together. They perform separately. I don't manage them. I co-manage Nas. Then I have country western singers, Travis Tritt. Okay, he's like the Jay-Z of country western music. Rodney Atkins, he's like the Nas of country western music. Jamie Lee Thurston, he writes songs for, you name it, in Nashville, Dolly Parton, Charlie Daniels Band, the Dixie Chicks. He wrote a record. Oh, my God, I just got paint on my arm. Oh, they're painting my hallway, and I just got paint on my arm. Lord, hey, hold on. Oh, Lord, don't touch the wall. Oh, hold on a second. I'm in my hallway. I just got out the elevator. There's a guy painting.
Okay. Busy man.
Okay. Anyway, I'm trying to get to my house, and the guy, they're painting in the hallway, and I touched the wall by accident, and I got green paint on my, well, like a light green paint on my arm, but he said it's water-based paint, so to wash off. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Living large.
Okay, I do that anyway, but okay, I was saying something else. Artists I brought into the game, I was going somewhere else out in what I said, but, basically, any artist out there who's trying to be an artist, you know, don't see, most management will try to push that the label thing on you. Everybody can't get a deal with a label, and getting a deal with a label isn't what it seems. You know what I'm saying? It's not what it's cracked up to be. That people think is this and that. I'm getting ready to open my front door, and my dog is gonna start barking. I know he is.
Okay, what type of dog do you have?
A Maltese.
Okay, we got a reality show here. Radio reality show, internet reality show.
Yes, sir. But anyway, now I got to wash this green paint off my arm, so y'all going to hear water in a minute as soon as I close my front door. But anyway, most artists think, you know, record deal is the end-all, be-all. It's not. And there's other ways. Most managers, they just push record deals. They try to get an artist a record deal. And the average artist is not going to get a record deal. Right now in the United States alone, there are over 10 million wannabe unsigned artists. All of them cannot get signed. They can't have, okay, In this business, they can't have too many artists. Okay, you got major artists like Rihanna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga. They look my dog barking. Anyway, all these people. If you had, let's just say you had 5,000 major artists out there to choose from, nobody's going to make no – I mean, everybody's going to make money, but they're all going to make 50 cents. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you only got three major artists, let's say Beyonce, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, and whoever, Chris Brown, whatever, just like, let's say there's 10 major artists out there, and they're getting the money. Now, if you had 10 million artists out there, now there's a choice of who the people can buy, and nobody's going to – everybody's going to make money, but they're not going to make big money because there's so many artists, you can't buy everybody's album. So instead of an artist selling a million albums, Beyonce might sell 500 albums because there's 10 million other people out there for them to listen to. So that's why labels don't sign that many people unless they, I mean, really, they got the hit records, hit flavor of the day or whatever, whatever. But if labels was to sign every artist that was out there, even if they was good, the best, great, Michael Jackson worthy, whatever, they're not going to make money off of them because there's so many choices for the people to buy their different albums, the artist will wind up getting 50 cents. You know what I'm saying? So basically, they try to keep it, you know, to a minimum of a certain amount of artists that they'll put out there, and you've got a choice. You go out there right now and try to buy an R&B album. Basically, who are you going to see? Beyonce, Rihanna, this body, that body. And, you know, they try to keep it in a minimum, so they're keeping that money, like, you know, they say keep it in the family. They're keeping it in the family instead of having 10 million artists and everybody's getting their albums sold, but they're only going to sell 500 albums a piece, and that's no money. I mean, they're going to walk away with a check for probably after the record company whores them and takes their money. They'll probably have a check for $150. So they'd be doing better working in McDonald's than trying to be a recording artist. So that's why a lot of artists don't get signed to labels because labels can only sign a bare minimum. And, I mean, somebody's really got to be the next Beyonce, the next Michael Jackson, or somebody like that really right now to get a rap deal. Because labels labels are foul. And now as management, what I prefer to do is, now most management, they're going to sign you and they're going to try to push you for a record deal, and they'll get doors slammed in their face because they'll be like, look, you know, no, we don't need this. So you're not going to make no money. When I do it with my management, yeah, I shop their records to record labels, but in the meantime, I get my artist music used for TV shows, TV commercials, movies, video games, you name it, whatever it is, live shows, opening up shows to major artists, anything that's going to put money in their pocket. Because the average artist, the unsigned artist, will come to me straight out the hood. We all know that. And especially if it's a rap artist, they're straight out the hood. They're probably still in the hood selling drugs or unemployed, or they might have a little job working in Wendy's if they have a job at all. So for them to now take that record money, not record money, that music money, like from, say, a show or this, that, and other, and put it to good use, you know, it's a good thing. Now, I have unsigned artists where they was unemployed. Now they're making anywhere from $60,000 to $150,000 a year without a record deal, getting their music used for TV shows, movies, their own shows, opening up for major artists, whatever. I have one artist. I don't want to go into it because then he'll know who it is and he might not like me putting his story out there. But anyway, the guy was working in Wendy's. I'm not going to say where, what state. He was in. Wife, three kids, and he was living with his in-laws. And, you know, he got with me, and his thing was he wanted a record deal. And I explained to him, look, you know, record deal is this, blah, 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 but he's still record deal. But his music wasn't record deal quality. It wasn't, I mean, he was good, but it wasn't something that a record label was going to say, okay, yeah, this is going to be the next Biggie Smalls or whatever. He'd have just been another rapper out there, and basically, even if a label signed him, his project would have sat on the shelf, and he wouldn't have made any money. So basically what I did for him was I got his music used for TV commercials, TV shows. He got a video.
Okay. Hello? Hello? Sounds like we lost him. Did I lose you, Michael? Hi, everyone. Maybe come back on. All right, everyone. You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest interview today is with Michael Goldie. He's manager of GM Artist Management and co-owner of Hall of Fame Recording Studio. He's been in the industry 31 years, so hopefully he'll pick back up. He's also been with Def Jam from the start. So hopefully he'll tune back in. But in the meantime, everyone, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, of course, and I am, of course, as always, Angela Butler. I'm going, January 2nd will be my sixth year, so I hope everybody stays tuned. Like I was putting out there, if any of you decide to tune in, which I'm going to re-air this again, okay, I'm going to re-air this again because I know there's a lot of people who want to hear Michael. I mean, he's good. He's good. Told you he'd be educated and enlightened. And did I lie? No, I did not. Very intelligent man. Very intelligent man. Michael, are you there? Hello? I don't think he's there. I don't think he's there at all. I see it looks like he's on the line, but I can't hear him. Okay, but back to the show. Hopefully he'll pick up soon, tune back in, or, you know. But everyone, I just want to talk about this. As usual, you know, we've been seeing things on TV, you know, it's election time, the near election time. So I'm going to encourage everybody to get out there and vote. It's important, so exercise your right to vote. If you need to get your voting rights restored, go ahead and do it. Your vote does count. So just go out there and do what you have to do and cast your vote. Let's get organized again. This election, too, is as important as any other election here in the United States of America. And your vote does count. They're going to talk about the electoral votes and things. Don't worry about it. Just get out there and vote. Do what you're supposed to. Local, county, state, United States of America, exercise your right to vote. Too many people died for people not to get out and vote. Too many people gave up their lives. So come on, young people. Get motivated. Vote. We all know what's been going on here in the United States of America with the killings and things. And
Americans are losing a lot of their jobs. And they're outsourcing to India. You call T-Mobile customer service, and you're talking to somebody in Mumbai, India somewhere that you can't even understand. So Americans losing their jobs bad enough now, but when record labels start going online and closing up the actual buildings, that's going to be a lot of jobs missing. You know what I'm saying? Because the average label might employ, let's say, Def Jam in New York, they might employ 5,000 people. But then they got an office in California, they got an office in Germany, they got offices in Japan. We're talking about over maybe 200,000 people employed by this label. But when they get online, there'll be at least a third of those 200,000 people are going to lose their jobs. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, record labels in the next 5 years are all going to be operating off the Internet. Now,
yeah.
For artists who put their music on iTunes, I don't suggest that they do that because it's not a moneymaker for them. Because if you log on to iTunes, it's going to take you to their home page, and you're going to see Rihanna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, whoever's the flavor of the month or whatever. You're not going to see any unsigned artists that you never heard of. The only way you're going to find an unsigned artist that you never heard of on there is you would have to know their name. So if you never heard of them, how can you pull up their name? Unless you're somebody who's basically disabled, in a wheelchair, and you sit at a computer 24/7 and just listen to music and go through iTunes, and you're like, oh, you listen to everything on there. But if you don't know somebody, let's just say there's a rapper, his name is Joe Blow. If you don't know Joe Blow's name, you never heard of Joe Blow's music, you're not going to find him on iTunes, and he's not going to make any money. So people think when they spend that money to get their music put on iTunes that they're going to make money. No. Unless you're promoting your music and you're out there really pushing it on Twitter and this body and that body saying, look, listen to my music on so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. That's the only way you're going to direct traffic there. And even then, you're not going to direct that many people there. You might get some people, but you're not going to get the people that's going to pay bills or pay your mortgage or something like that. So that's a suggestion I make to artists. Don't waste their time and get on iTunes, because iTunes is unsigned artists picked on the front pages. So they're hidden in the background somewhere. That's just another company who's trying to make some money however they can off of beating somebody. You know what I'm saying? Because they make their major money off the major artists. They make their money off the unsigned artists by, I think they charge the unsigned artists like $60, $70 to put like two or three tracks on there, something like that. So they're making their money, and the unsigned artist is hidden in the back. They don't promote that unsigned artist, and, you know, it's what it is. So it's best for any unsigned artist to find them good management and look around for management. Don't just get the first person you see. Don't use your homeboy from around the block who says, yeah, I can manage you, because if they don't know anybody in the industry, they don't know people at record labels, they're not going to be able to do anything for you. And if you get a professional manager, you really need to, you know, search around for the right manager, because there's managers out there who will manage 100 people. You cannot manage 100 artists. It's impossible, you know. But they do it because they'll charge these artists money, anywhere from $250 to $500 a month. And they're not supposed to do that. A manager can charge between 15 and 20% of the money that he earns for an artist. So basically, if I don't earn any money for an artist, I do not get paid. I do not charge an artist a monthly fee, because that's not how you do it. That's illegal. So if I don't go out there and bust my hump every day and push this artist and make this artist some kind of money, I'm not going to make my 20%. 20% of zero is zero. So I got to get my bread. So there's days where, I think I was telling Angela the other day that last Friday, I stayed up for 2 days without going to sleep, because when I come home, I got like 6 laptops in front of me, 3 42-inch monitors, and I'm here working. I'm pitching my artist music, doing this and that, whatever, and I mean, I just don't stop. When I get in that go mode, I'm in that mode, in that zone, I keep going, because I'm making that money.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody who telemarketer. If they will make a sale, they don't get a commission. So basically, my 20% is a commission. So if I don't make my artist money, I don't get a commission. No money, commission.
Yes.
I need money. I live in the penthouse. You seen where I live. I live in the penthouse. I'm overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. Looking out at the Atlantic Ocean with all kinds of boats out there, white people riding around in sailboats and yachts and all that stuff, and doing their thing. And I love where I live. And if I don't make that money for my artists, then they'll be calling me and putting a sign on my door saying, the sheriff has said you have 5 days to move out of here and pack your stuff. So I got to go hard to keep living like I like to live. Because
Mr. Michael Goldie, it's about 24 seconds. Where can they contact you at? Email address, anything like that?
Any artist who wants to find me, just look on LinkedIn under Michael G. I think it's under Michael G or Mike G, and it'll say Def Jam Records. Artist manager, Hall of Fame music, studio co-owner, or you can go on Instagram to Goldie_Mac1018.
Michael, the show just ended. Okay, it was 30 minutes.
Okay,
right, thank you.
I talked my ass off. So, I mean, I wish
yes,
people had been
like, they might can hear you go still. I don't know. This is kind of different, so you might want to watch what you say.
Yeah, but I would have preferred if actually I was on a Blog Talk Radio show that a friend of mine had before, and she actually had people where they could talk back to you, you know? And I like the fact that they could talk back to you because I'm just ramble. I talk and talk and talk and ramble, you know?
Yeah, I needed an hour show. I really did.
I was trying to give him some pointers, you know, at least, you know, a little kind of pointers about the music industry and how, you know, they're just like, you know, just robbers, you know what I'm saying? And trying to steer the people, you know, but most people don't listen to what somebody will tell them. Like if you tell somebody, don't step over there, there's dog duty. They're going to find out for themselves. And when they say, oh, shit, there's shit on my foot. But they don't want to listen to you. So basically, people, they probably ain't going to listen to what I said.
Michael, do you know people might can still hear you?
Oh, can they? I thought we was all
they might. There. I'm not certain. Okay. I hope not.
Anyway, I said dog doo-doo. Anyway, but, you know, so, you know, I mean, I like to do my best to try to help people out because I done made my bread, and I'm not trying to, I mean, I do want to make more bread in my lifetime, but I'm not starved for no bread, so I like to try to help people out, especially the young kids.
You're a smart man, smart man.
And this, that, and the other, and basically, I like to make my bread and come home and just chill out. I'm not trying to run the streets like die on and got at me on LinkedIn, and he was asking me, what events do we have coming up? He's like, what events do you have tonight? What you doing tonight? I said, man, tonight I'm on my way home. I'm going to cook some food for me and my dog and watch some TV with the dog, and I'm going to bed. That's what I'm doing. And it's too long. It don't excite me to go out and meet no artists because basically I know everybody out there. Even
what type of dogs do you have?
I'm Maltese.
Okay.
You saw my Instagram, the dog on my Instagram. The little baby, you know?
Yeah, I have two
cats. Meeting artists does not faze me because they bleed just like I bleed. They're just regular people. And, you know, one people I can't stand the Kardashian family because they have no talent. They're not singers. They're not dancers. They're not nothing. All right.
Come on, okay. Mr. Michael. Come on now. Okay, come on now. I know
like that.
Your opinion, but I don't know how much can be heard, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, right. If people are still listening, I'm sorry.
Sir.
That was my views. Those are not the views of this radio station. These are not the views of radio hosts and buffer or nothing like that. These are the views of Michael G. Okay? So
okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if this can be heard or not.
Okay. Just in case they're still listening, these are the views of Michael G. I'm not a racist. I'm not a gay bash or anything like that, but I tell it like it is, and I try to help people out, and I have a dirty mouth. I'm sorry about that, but sometimes your mouth got to get a little salty. You know what I'm saying? But I try to help people the best I can. And if y'all still listening, enjoy yourselves and read the Bible.
Mr. Michael?
I do that every morning before I leave the house. I read the Bible. But anyway, so is the show
everybody
over?
Should. Yeah, the show's been over. It's been over for about 30 minutes. It's been over about 4 or 5 minutes now.
I read these two scriptures, the 91st Psalm and the 143rd Psalm, every morning. Before I get out of bed, because my grandmother, she's dead now, she had told me, I was in a situation where I was real young, I got locked up, and she told me, she wrote me a letter, and she couldn't write that good. She was like, you know, scribbly writing, and she told me and said, read the 91st and the 140th, and I've been reading them ever since, and I get good luck every morning when I walk out my door.
Okay.
And, okay. But anyway.
All right. Listen.
And if you want to call me back later, and I will make the amendments on that contract tonight. I was thinking of, you know, how to word it. I like to think of things in my brain.
Wait, 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 wait what can be heard. Okay.
Okay, so we'll talk later. Put it like that, just in case we come
on
the air.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Yes, sir. Bye.
Thank you.